German Chancellor Angela Merkel meets with President Obama today as part of a high-level effort, including French President Francois Hollande, British Prime Minister David Cameron, to convince Vladimir Putin to honor a ceasefire agreement that was made back in September between the Ukrainian government and Russian-backed separatist forces. Germany and the U.S. disagree on whether to send weapons to the Ukrainian army. Yesterday, Secretary of State John Kerry told Meet the Press the U.S. will do what it takes to keep Ukraine out of Putin's hands.
The solution is a political, diplomatic one, but President Putin's got to make the decision to take an off-ramp, and we have to make it clear to him that we are absolutely committed to the sovereignty and integrity of Ukraine, no matter what.
Ann Applebaum, foreign affairs columnist for The Washington Post and Slate, says that far from off-ramp, Vladimir Putin seems to be motoring down a path that may change the face of Europe more dramatically than at any period since the end of the Cold War. Ann Applebaum, welcome.
Thank you very much. Hello.
What do you think happens if nothing can be achieved in these latest talks at the highest levels of Germany, France, the U.S.?
Well, what we could be facing is the possibility of a Russian partial occupation of eastern Ukraine. We could be facing the creation of what's called a new frozen conflict. In other words, a piece of Ukrainian territory, which is effectively controlled by Russia, which can then be used to disrupt and undermine Ukraine into the near future. Of course, what we could also be facing is a Russia which is emboldened by this achievement and attempts to try it again somewhere else. So they've done it before. They've done it in Moldova. They did it in Georgia in 2008. Now they've done it in Ukraine. Next could be the Baltic states. It could be another Russian neighbor. We just don't know.
In humanitarian terms, does the breakdown of these talks, if they don't succeed, mean more violence and a significant upgrade in the violence or escalation of the violence?
It really depends on what the Russians want. The latest round of violence was begun by the so-called separatists. They appear to have decided that they needed greater territory. They would like to control more space. And so they began attacking new towns and trying to expand the borders of their little statelet. And so it much depends on whether the Russians decide they want to keep going or whether they decide to freeze the conflict where it is. If the Russians decide to stop, then the talks, of course, could end the conflict, at least for now. But, of course, there's no guarantee that it wouldn't continue again in the future.
Is there any interest in Putin stopping the conflict? There's certainly a theoretical interest in him projecting his power and Russian nationalism by pursuing it, even with the pain of sanctions and lower oil prices right now.
Well, look, he began the conflict, and you know, for reasons of his own, he wants to continue it. This is very important for him internally. In effect, he's making an argument to the Russian people. Look what happens to you if you try to join Europe. You know, look what happens if you try to become part of the West. You know, what he really wants to prevent is a Ukraine which is even minimally prosperous, even minimally Western, even minimally integrated, because that would then be a challenge to Russia. If Ukraine can do it, then why can't Russia?
Much has been written about the relationship between Angela Merkel and Vladimir Putin, the fact that she speaks Russian, that she grew up in East Germany, that she sort of understands the Russian mentality, both for good and ill. Is there a chance that Putin would want to make some kind of side deal with Germany to project some bipolar power structure in Europe that would be fundamentally different from the U.S. involvement?
Yes, I think that has been Putin's goal all along. His goal has been to have a special relationship with Germany. His goal has been to undermine the European Union, to undermine NATO, to pick apart the post-Cold War and indeed the post-war settlement in Europe. That has been his goal. So far, Angela Merkel, who I think understands this very well, has not agreed to do that. She remains anchored to Germany's role in NATO. She remains attached to her allies, particularly those in Central Europe. I think the Polish-German relationship, which was created over the last 7 or 8 years, is very important here. You know, Germany feels now a responsibility for its immediate neighbors that it might not have felt earlier. So far, it hasn't worked. So far, the Germans are on side. You know, but this is a very long game. Putin is using tools of corruption, of political influence, of support for the far right, sometimes the far left, all over Europe. He's a supporter of the new far left government in Greece, as well as its far right coalition partners. So it's not even an ideological game. It's all about being anti-establishment. And he's playing for the long victory. So you know, he may outlast Merkel. We'll have to wait and see.
Finally, what do you make of the reports that Cyprus may grant Russia a military bases on that island in the Mediterranean, and that Anders Fogh Rasmussen, the former commander of NATO, suggested, as you did a moment ago, that Putin might have his eyes on the Baltics?
To answer that last piece of it, Putin's made very clear that he has his eye on the Baltics. I mean, there have been a number of incidents over the last few weeks and months in the Baltics. He's there was an Estonian security officer who was kidnapped by the Russians over the border. There was a Lithuanian ship that was captured. I mean, there have been small provocative incidents have been going on for a long time. You know, the Cyprus story, I was told yesterday that it's actually there's nothing new, that the Russians have been refueling in Cyprus for a long time, although, of course, it's true that Cyprus and its relationship to Russia is also part of the game. Cyprus's economy is dependent on Russian money laundering. That's what is done in Cyprus. That's why there's so much Russian property there and so much Russian influence. And what the Russians do in Cyprus, they would like to do elsewhere in Europe. So, yes, it is a... You know, this is a strategy. The strategy is to pick off the weaker European states one by one, whether financially or politically or militarily, to weaken the European Union, to weaken NATO, to get the U.S. out of Europe, and to have Europe become a zone of Russian influence and a playground for Russian corruption that would suit the people who run Russia now. That is the strategy.
A vivid picture of the situation in Europe way beyond eastern Ukraine. Anne Applebaum, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Anne Applebaum is foreign affairs columnist for The Washington Post and Slate.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.